Hey folks, before you dive into this episode of Leader Feeder, we wanted to let you know about this Leader Behavior Builder Challenge that we're launching this summer.
Yeah, so for a 90-day period, you'll have a chance to work on up to 6 leadership behaviors. You'll watch a video where you learn a little bit of tips or some tips on how to do that behavior well. Then you'll set a commitment and our system will check in with you. Best ever, not only will you work on your leadership skills, but you'll also have a chance to win a prize.
Yeah, that's right. So we've got Amazon gift cards, $50 Amazon gift cards, just for participating in any one of the 6 challenges that we have. And if you participate in at least 5 of the 6 over the course of the 90 days, you will be entered into a draw to win a $500 Amazon gift card. So pretty sweet, just for focusing on being a better leader.
So participating in one of the challenges gets you entered into a draw for one prize. Or if you do 5 out of the 6, you can be entered in to win the grand prize. No matter what, your team's going to win, your organization's going to win. So go to our website at uniquedevelopment.com, click on the link at the top of the webpage, and enter in your details. You can find out more information, all the terms and conditions, and we look forward to having you build your leadership behaviors over the next 90 days.
Hi, welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne, the marketing coordinator here at Unique Training and Development, and I get to sit down with Kirk Langford, our general manager.
Hi, Suz.
Yeah, hi. We like to chat about all kinds of different topics to try to help frontline leaders, manufacturing supervisors become, you know, better at their jobs. You like to say less stress.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. Why? I think every leader wants to be a little bit less stressed and also help their team improve performance, right?
Yeah, maybe a bit more organized. You got it. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So first off, I just want to say happy early Canada Day. Tomorrow is going to be Canada Day. And also to our U.S. folks that listen, happy Independence Day.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, this week's
dual celebration.
Lots of big celebrations, happening in North America this week.
That's right.
Today, we're focused on a topic. We want to tell people 5 ways that can make them a more efficient supervisor.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's get into it. when we talk,
let's be efficient with talking about efficiency, shall we?
Yeah, you know, these can't be an hour long, right?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So when we talk about, you know, efficiency for a supervisor, what does that look like on a shop floor?
Yeah. So I it can look like a lot of different things, but I think it's like getting the work done in a way that is reducing the amount of waste. And that could be wasted time, wasted materials, wasted communication, wasted decision making. So trying to do it in a way that is concise and sort of as quickly and, you know, keeping in mind safety and quality,
of course.
As possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Yeah. So let's get into our 5 ways.
Yeah.
How can our listeners become more efficient, Kirk?
Okay, well, to start off, I would say if you're feeling like you're a manufacturing supervisor who is inefficient, if you're like, I think I want to become more efficient or try to, start with a time audit. A time audit is when you track as closely as you can, I mean, even minute by minute if you can, what you spend your time at work doing. So if you have a meeting, you track the length of that meeting. If you are on the floor, track the time you're on that floor. Basically, pay attention to what you're doing and how long you spend doing it. And then pay attention to what takes you the most time currently, right? So if you then do a time audit for a week or 2 weeks, much longer than that, you'll probably drive yourself a little bit crazy because it just takes a lot of effort.
Stopwatch is constantly going.
Yeah, really. Like you joke, but at the same time, you're right. It is really hard to really consistently track what you're doing. So, you know, do this time audit for a little while and then pay attention to what takes you the most time. Okay. You know, you can't become more efficient if you don't know what makes you less efficient in the first place.
Right.
So what are the things you spend the most time doing? And ask yourself, should those things take me as much time as they do? And if the answer is yes, I'm actually already quite efficient in those, or I feel I'm quite efficient, then okay, maybe you look at another area. What takes you the next largest amount of time, right? But if you look at that top thing or top couple of things and you go, I should be able to do these faster or more efficiently than I currently do, then that's where to start, right? So then where can you make those gains and what do those gains look like? So if it's, you know, time spent on the floor, you spend a lot of time doing that, you're asking yourself, is that high quality time? Is that high value time? And if not, how can I make it more high value? And how can I make sure that what I'm attempting to get done when I'm on the floor mm-hmm. is getting done as efficiently as possible? So essentially, just start by gathering data in the form of what do I spend my day doing now? That's the first step and the first tip I would give for anybody that wants to become a more efficient leader.
So when you say time, what if they are unsure of if they are efficient in it? So say I'm doing a task and yep. I'm timing that task
yep.
and you're like, I think I'm doing the best I can, you okay. know?
Yeah.
If there's if you are in a multi-shift organization, yeah. would I be correct in saying maybe you could go to the other supervisor who's on the floor who maybe does the night shift or something, say, how long does this take you?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of into our second point, actually, our second tip is ask for feedback.
Oh, great.
So go mm-hmm. to either your team, your direct reports, go to your managers and go to your peers and ask them for feedback on what you could do better, what they think you could do more efficiently, mm-hmm. Et cetera, et cetera. And like you said, part of it might be you going, well, I already think I do this pretty efficiently as it is, this particular task. And so I'm not sure if I could get more efficient. So I'm going to go to somebody else and ask, how quickly are you doing it? Mm-hmm. Or how much time do you spend on it? Or maybe not just how much time do you spend on it, but how do you do it? What's the mm-hmm. way you do it? And so that's right. Asking peers, managers, and your team for feedback is an awesome next step to becoming more efficient.
Great. So step yep. two, giving feedback.
Yeah.
What, say I'm a frontline leader.
Yep.
What other types of questions beside, of course, just the first step of being the time,
yep.
but what other kinds of questions would you be asking for feedback on to be more efficient? Like how would you ask a type of question to your manager or yep. to the floor?
Yeah.
What types of questions?
It could be something as simple as, hey, I'm trying to be a bit more efficient. I'm trying to be more aware of whether I'm spending my time on the highest value items that I can.
That's a good way to phrase it, yeah.
What feedback do you have for me in that regard? Do you think I spend my time efficiently now? And mm-hmm. and how could I spend my time a little bit more on high value items? And how could I be a bit more efficient in my job? So I think it's as simple as asking that. And explaining the why is really about, it's really about, I want to make sure I'm spending my time on high value tasks. Mm-hmm. And so I'm getting all my work done. So how do you think I'm doing on that? And what can I do better? That's what I would say.
Awesome. Great. Yeah. So number three way we do talk about this quite often within our training is communication. So how can communication make a leader more efficient?
So I think you want to shore up your communication. You want to ensure that your communication is clear. And it mm-hmm. often means what you spend a lot of time doing as a leader is clarifying expectations. You know, Greg, you know, the owner of Unique Training Development, he has a book called, you know, Employees Not Doing What You Expect.
Oh, it's right here.
There it is. That's
oh,
right.
Oh, goodness.
Employee. We wow, have a isn't copy. That crazy?
We have a copy right here behind us on set.
I love it. Employees not doing what you expect. And the very first one is because they don't, you know, why would an employee not do something what you expect? Because they don't know what you expect, because you haven't yet right. clarified for them.
Yes.
So I think when it comes to communication, we tend to assume that less communication is better, that people are always inundated with too much information. And so less communication is not always, is better.
Might slow us down. It might slow you down.
I don't think that's actually the case. Hmm. I think clear communication is what we want to strive for, not less communication. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that might actually mean a bit more, whether a little bit of a longer email or a bit of a longer text or a bit of a longer explanation mm-hmm. In order to make sure that we're communicating everything we need to communicate in order for the person to do what we'd like them to do in the way we'd like them to do it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, less is not necessarily more. In some cases it can be, right? But it's not necessarily more, but clearer communication that clarifies expectations and results is almost certainly going to make us and our team more efficient.
Yeah.
So I think that's something to think about is whether it's, clarifying or just taking more time to explain upfront. Generally, I think that will help your communication allow the people that are hearing your communication, mm-hmm. rather, to get the work done better.
Yeah. So, for example, if we wanted to roll out a new initiative, I should sit down with the team and say, hey, explain the initiative even yeah. maybe before it goes out. Explain yeah. what it is, have their questions so that when it does roll out,
yeah.
it it then is going to be hopefully more of an efficient rollout, right?
That's right. Explain why it's coming. Yeah. Explain what you already know about it. You know, the reason behind that, the reason behind it, if you know what that is, for example, rather than just, hey, we got a change coming, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, people want to be in the know. People want to be in on things and have an understanding of what's going on. And so, and that's a perfect example where less communication, just saying that the change is coming, is not actually as efficient and probably as effective as explaining everything you know about the change. Hey, here's why it's happening. Here's when we expect it to roll out. Here's, you know, some things we want to keep in mind as we think about implementing this change, et cetera, et cetera.
If you have questions, don't be scared to ask them. Yeah. I'll take it. I'll feed that up to the top. We'll come back. Exactly. We'll address things. Great way. Okay. That's a great way. what would you say number four would
Empower.
Be?
Empower. Yes, that's right. Honestly, you can't do it all. And so you can't do it all and trying to do it all.
Unless you're Suzanne Jakes.
Unless you're Suzanne, that's right.
I'm kidding, of course. No, absolutely, I cannot do it all.
You can't do it all. And honestly, trying to do it all is highly inefficient and leads to burnout. Right.
Yes.
So make sure you cross train. Make sure you think about your current bench strength on your team and go, okay, if we needed to get something done, who could do the tasks required to get that job done? And if it's in every case, only one person can do each task. I mean, there are some cases where that's just the way things are based on the size of the team and based on the expertise required. Yeah. But when you can, do some cross-training. Have multiple people able to do more things. Right. And that leads right into empowerment, right? Because empowerment is saying, I could do everything myself. I could try to do everything myself, but I'm better off empowering my team to help me get the work done. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that when we talk about a leader becoming more efficient, I think there is a secondary piece that's also, is the team being efficient? So it's not just an efficient leader, but an efficient leader should have an efficient team.
Yes.
And so that then means, are you empowering people to make sure that the work gets done by someone on the team and in an efficient way? Mm-hmm. So I would say think about empowerment. And if you feel like as the frontline leader, you're doing everything and you're taking it all on, that isn't very efficient, generally speaking, because you have a whole team of people that are supposed to be, you're supposed to be getting the work done through them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's inefficient to try to do everything yourself. So you want to focus on empowerment.
Right. Yeah. Right. And if you listening are a frontline leader who is saying, oh, like empowerment is a good way to be more efficient with your team. We've talked about in previous tips about creating a matrix, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
The tasks that you do in a day or that are done on your team in a day.
That's right.
Who's currently doing those?
Yeah.
Crossing off, maybe you can explain it better and just to make sure that I'm saying it right.
So if you go, wow, you're right. There's certain tasks that only that only one person can do. That's not good. I'd like multiple people to be able to do multiple tasks. Mm-hmm. So when someone's on vacation or someone calls in sick, we're not falling behind on production because of that expertise being missing, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're exactly right. You create a matrix of what are the tasks that need to get done and who can currently do them. And then you make a proactive plan of who do I want to be able to do each task. And that way you set up a training plan after that of who am I going to teach to do each of the various tasks that I don't yet have, in my mind, a sufficient amount of people that can do that task.
So a lot of time empowerment also we talk about is coming from, I'm kind of hanging on to on tip four here because things keep coming up. The fourth way, when we talk about empowerment, a lot of times frontline leaders aren't empowering their team because of lots of reasons, but one of the main reasons, as we know, is giving up the control.
Right, right.
So say a frontline leader listening, they're like, okay, I'm going to make my matrix and I need to, I do a lot of these tasks.
Yeah, yeah.
How would you help a frontline leader who maybe is having a hard time giving up any of that control so that they can empower their team?
I would say there's one of two primary reasons they're not willing to give up control or are struggling to give up that control. Mm-hmm. And it's because they might be perfectionistic, meaning that they want things done a very specific way and they feel as though their team won't do them that way. So that could be piece number one. Piece number two might be they feel giving up control of the tasks also is a threat to their authority. Right.
Interesting.
Sort of a sense of, well, if I'm not the one doing these things, then do they even need me on the team, as it were? Or am I really in charge? And so for the first, I'll start with the second one, actually. For the one of feeling your authority is threatened, I think leaders need to remember that their job is to get their work done through the team, to achieve results through the team. Mm-hmm. And so empowering your team, creating other people on your team that can do more, and in essence, creating other leaders is exactly what management wants.
Right.
And And if you can do that and show yourself capable of doing that, you're more likely to probably be looked, not overlooked rather, the opposite, considered for a promotion or someone going, wow, this person is able to create a team that is highly self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. You know, they hardly even need to be there and the team just keeps running. That's a great example of empowerment. So then instead of feeling threatened, it's more, how can I make sure that the team feels almost like they could run without me, right? So we got to shift our mindset from feeling threatened to going, how can I actually, you know, super empower my team, mm-hmm. as it were, like empower on steroids, so that so that we almost aren't needed, as it right. were. And that's going to be seen usually by management and the rest of the company as a very positive thing, mm-hmm. right? And so then if we go back to the first one, which is that, you know, they're perfectionistic, I think you have to wonder, or you have to think about, okay, what pieces need to be done in a very specific way? What tasks need to be done mm-hmm. exactly as I want them to be done? Mm-hmm. Often it's not as many things as we think, right? There are things that we haven't been willing to let go of that we could let go of. And if they're done at 80% the level we used to do them, or just in a different way than we used to do them, as long as they're getting done, mm-hmm. that's really all that matters. Right. So we need to, again, thinking of our mindset, we need to go, okay, does this task have to be done this way?
Yeah.
And does it have to be done to the quality that I typically do it? Mm-hmm. Or is it okay if it's done at 80 or 90% of the quality I do it? And is it okay that it's done in a different way that I would do it? And if the answer to those questions is no, it must be done this way and it must be done at 100%,
right.
then ask yourself, how can I train someone to do it in that way mm-hmm. at that level?
Right.
And if the answer is no, it doesn't need to be done perfectly and it doesn't need to be done, you know, exactly the way I do it, then that's a great opportunity to say, okay, then I'm now more okay than I was before, mm-hmm. letting go a little bit and letting someone else do it or help me with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so either of those reasons for taking on too much as a leader, for not empowering enough, I think is solvable mm-hmm. if you can have the self-awareness to go, okay, why am I resisting giving tasks to my team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. Really good stuff.
Thanks.
So the fifth way that we're going to try to help frontline leaders become a more effective supervisor is through the leadership trap, which we've talked about in a few of other podcasts,
lots of episodes,
right? Well, it's a good one. Or like effective team meetings. So right. how would that be the way to make a supervisor more efficient? Yeah.
So, you know, two different things, but I would say the commonality is a proactive.
So you're telling me the fifth way is actually.
There's six tips, actually. Yeah. Wow, bonus tip today
bonus
only.
Bonus tip today
only. There's really two pieces, right?
Yes.
So I would say both are about proactive approaches. The leadership trap tells us that don't have an open door policy mm-hmm. where everyone's just allowed to come to you whenever. Instead, you as the leader proactively go and touch base with your people regularly throughout the day. I could go into it more, but we've already talked about it lots on other episodes. So, you know, any listeners can certainly search for those episodes that dive into the leadership trap. But essentially, don't wait for people to come to you. Proactively go out mm-hmm. and touch base with them a couple times during the shift, right? As for efficient team meetings, it's, you know, thinking about, do you have an agenda in advance? Do you follow that agenda? Do you take time to prep an agenda? Mm-hmm. Or do you just get to the meeting where you've asked everyone to take time out of their schedule to sit with you and then you go, so, what have we got today, guys? Mm-hmm. What are we doing? No, instead it's taking the time to have a prepped agenda. Not saying you can't say anything else to add to the agenda. Mm-hmm. Not saying you can't have that, but it's showing, again, that proactive approach. So whether it's proactively seeking input and feedback and reaching out to your team, or whether it's proactively planning these meetings so that they are more efficiently run, mm-hmm. both of those are great strategies for being a more efficient leader on your team.
Great stuff. Yeah. So those are five, maybe six.
Yeah, maybe six, five and
five
a half.
Are five ways to try to help you become a more efficient supervisor. If you have any questions or want to reach out to us, head to our website, which is uniquedevelopment.com. Reach out to us on social media. Yeah. There's lots of ways that you can get in touch with us. If you would like to hear a specific topic or something that we have not touched base off within our plethora of leader content. Feeders, please just let us know. You want us to redo something? Let us know. Until the next time we meet on Leader Feeder, I will say goodbye.